Let us pray. Our God, today we come in the name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We thank you for this opportunity. This opportunity to celebrate. To celebrate a glorious God. How great and awesome this God is to me. Specifically, oh God, we give your name praise because you have allowed this man, this family, to serve the Shiloh Baptist Church of Trenton, New Jersey for 15 years. God, we serve a good God, and we live in a day and age where pastors get kicked out of churches in a matter of months, where pastor and people can't get along, can't work together, can't do the ministry that you have called them to do. We live in a day and age where egos get in the way of ministry. But you've allowed pastor and people to work together for 15 years. And for that, we praise you. And God, we ask that something be said on tonight that would encourage this church, this pastor, to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the best is yet to come. We thank you now for the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, let the people of God say amen, 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 and amen. Take a moment and bless God, if you will, on tonight. How great and how awesome you are to me. It is indeed a pleasure to be here today, tonight, at the Shiloh Baptist Church. I have to say this, I'm sitting over here. This doesn't happen to me too often. It does happen from time to time. But I'm sitting in my chair over here, extremely emotional. Extremely emotional, and the reason I'm emotional is because I look around and I see ushers and choir members and nurses and deacons and trustees and ministers and members and friends that come out on a Monday evening when they gotta go to work in the morning. And it does something to me. It does something to me. It does something to me. When I look and I see, now I know Tabernacle. So let me preface what I'm going to say. I know Tabernacle. Don't look into anything that I'm about to say. Don't try to say what I'm trying to imply or what I'm, did you hear? You know he meant, no. Okay, let me, yeah. All right, don't infer anything. Don't try to take any innuendos out of what I'm saying. No. I'm emotional. I'm glad I see my chair and vice chair, my deacons here, and I'm just on the front row. I got Deacon Emeritus, Deacon Chair Emeritus here, deacons in training here. Trustee chair here, trustee vice chair here, and I'm at a loss for words. So I appreciate you. Pastor Armstrong, God bless you for the invitation, my brother. My homeboy, thank you. Thank you so very much. I'm not big on a whole lot of introduction, but I just had to get all this out of the way. To Lady Armstrong, glad to see you. And we as I've said before, grew up minutes from each other, never knew it. Went to school in the same area. I went to Cal Berkeley, he went to Stanford. And now we find ourselves in New Jersey doing ministry. I don't know how that happened. But, amen. Amen. There is a word. I'll do my best not to hold you long. I don't know of any Monday evening shows. I don't watch too much on Monday evening. I just, you know, when Monday night football goes away, I'm just at a loss for Monday night. I don't know what's on. Dancing with the Stars, is that on, or that's next week? Next week, okay. I know The Voice is on. I know The Voice is on. So I don't, you know, but let's see what the Lord has to say on tonight. Gospel according to Mark. Pastor McBride, so good to see you here on today. Chapter 1. I really felt like giving the benediction after the elders sang. You know, Mr. Kyle, bless you, man. Deacon Anton, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. Mark chapter 1. Beginning at verse number 32. If you have it, please respond by saying, I got it. We'll read three verses. It says, at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon possessed. Hear this now. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. At evening, when the sun set, they brought to him all who were sick and demon possessed. That's what I want to deal with on tonight. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Pastor Armstrong, for 15 years you have been here. And it's my prayer that God would bless you for as long as God would have you here. And Shiloh, as you move forward in ministry, I pray that God keeps you as long as God intends to keep you. But as you do so, you must do so with what I want to talk about on tonight. And that is, you must do so with a spirit of expectancy. I fell in love with the book of James some years ago. It is a book of about 5 chapters, but it is a powerful book. I remember it was Wednesday night at the Mount Moriah Baptist Church of Los Angeles, California, 4269 South Figueroa. I was 18 years old, just finishing up my first year at the University of California, Berkeley, and there was a Bible study class that was designated for individuals between the ages of 18 and 35. And the teacher of the class was a USC professor. Her name was Dr. Lavana Blair Lewis. She was a lover of scripture, and she prefaced the study of the book of James. She prefaced the series that we were getting ready to go into on the book of James with these words. She says that James is a book that is not for the faint of heart. She said, so if you are not ready to deal with the book of James, then she said, I suggest you leave the class now. Because this is the kind of book that is going to challenge your faith. This is the kind of book that when you finish it, you will understand that it mandates you to live better. If you read the book of James and are not changed, it is because you have no intentions of changing. And you are refusing to allow the word of God to minister and pierce your heart. I began to look at the book of James because I discovered that this particular book challenges my brothers and sisters, our behavior. It challenges our actions. It challenges our mindsets. Really, all you have to do is look at the book of James, chapter number 1, verse number 19. It says that we ought to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. This is tough, especially for many church folk who really do the opposite. We are slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to anger. James tells us some strong words. It says to us that the objective is that our faith not just be one that hears the word, but it is one that does the word. It says this because faith without works is dead. He says, you can tell me all you want to about your faith, but I'll put my faith on display by the things that I do. He warns us about our tongues. James is a strong book. He says that the tongue is a small member of the body, yet it can do the most damage. It says the tongue can do more than my fist. The tongue can do more than a kick. The tongue is the smallest. But James tells us that a forest fire could be started by something that is so small. You cannot read the book of James and be the same way after you read it than you were before, because it challenges our behavior as Christians. Well, James speaks to us today because I discovered something in chapter 1 of the book of James. I don't know, someone is looking at me saying, I thought you were in Mark. Why are you in James? I'm coming to that in just a second. James tells us in chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, it says, let him ask God, who gives generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. It says these words, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts, here's what James says, is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. And he says that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is, here it needs, a double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways. Brothers and sisters, I found this to be a heavy passage of scripture. This thing is deep because it speaks to two things. Number one, it speaks to us on tonight about the importance of wisdom, as well as God's willingness to grant wisdom to those who ask him for it. It suggests to us tonight that if wisdom is an area in our lives that we find to be lacking, it says that God will graciously and God will generously give wisdom to us without reprimand and without criticism. However, if you go on, you will see that there is also a general principle in the book of James as well. It speaks to petitioning God, but not just petitioning God on face value, but petitioning God with faith. Let the church say faith. It is a reminder to us that when we ask from God, it is not simply good enough for us to just ask. Our asking from God must be coupled with asking God with faith. In other words, the text is telling us that it does us no good to ask from God if we do not have a belief in our hearts and in our minds that God will give us that which we requested from him. This is true because James tells us that if you ask from God and you doubt God, it is like your spirit is like a wave in the sea that is tossed and driven by the wind. James tells us that this kind of person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, because this kind of person, the one who comes to God lacking faith, is one who is double-minded and who is unstable in all his ways. Can I tell y'all, this is deep. This is deep because double-minded means literally that one has two minds. Two minds in one mind. Two minds going on at the same time. Two minds fighting against each other in the same head. One mind is on God and the other mind is on the world and the concerns of life. One mind is on the Lord and the other mind is on what I'm going through. One mind is on Jehovah and the other mind is dealing with my current context. And the two minds are battling against each other. One mind says God is able and the other mind says my situation is too rough. One mind says God has all power and the other one says God hasn't seen anything like what I'm going through. One mind said God transcends any and everything and the other mind says realistically I'm going to have to find a way to get through this thing all by myself. And James tells us that this is an unstable perspective because you cannot have it both ways. James is saying, if you want to get real about this thing, either you believe in God or you don't believe in God. Either you believe God will show up in your life or you don't believe God will show up in your life. If you believe God can conquer anything or you don't believe God can conquer anything. James says he's tired of Christians that are straddling the fence. He says petitioning God is going to God in faith and believing that when I bring it to his throne, God is going to show up. Can I talk about this thing on tonight, if you don't mind? I'm talking about, Pastor, going to God with a spirit of expectancy. I'm talking about on tonight, standing on the word of God. And believing that when I approach the throne of grace with a spirit that is seeking God's will, that God's will show up in my life. It's called a spirit of expectancy. I'm talking about the ability, here it goes, to give God praise. The moment I finish my prayer and the moment I say amen. Because you're not trying to wait until God shows up. You're already in the mindset to praise God for what God is already getting ready to do. That's why, y'all, the stuff that you're dealing with tonight, the stuff that you know you're going to have to face with tomorrow, you want to have the attitude that it's already done. It is a spirit of expectancy. If you came here tonight, I just want to talk to you. When you go to the throne of grace, you want to go knowing I'm already healed. I'm already delivered. I'm already set free. I'm already restored. I'm already redeemed. I'm already promoted. I'm already elevated. I'm excited for what I believe God has already done. New facilities, new ministry, new expectations, new ministry to the community in this area, new elevation. I believe that God is going to do it. I've got a spirit of expectancy. Here is where we transition to the book of Mark, because a spirit of expectancy is in our text on tonight. Verse number 32, chapter 1, comes right after a healing that took place, the text says, in Simon Peter's home. You remember what happened? Jesus left the synagogue, entered into the house of Peter and Andrew with James and John. The text says that Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. And they told Jesus about her. Jesus, the text says, comes into the room, takes her by the hand. The Bible says he lifts her up. And guess what? The fever leaves her. And when the fever leaves her, the text says she is now filled with strength and she can serve them. Verse 32 is the beginning of an interesting sequence of events because word is starting to get out about Jesus. Earlier on the Sabbath, he entered into the synagogue. The text says he was teaching and the people were astonished in the text because of his words, because he taught them with one as one who had authority. There was a man there who had an unclean spirit. And the Bible says that Jesus on the Sabbath day in the synagogue rebuked that spirit and said, "Be silent," and come up out of him. text goes on to say that the unclean spirit came up out of him, and all the people were amazed and asked the question. They said, what is this? Word is getting out in the area. Word is getting out in the city. Word is getting out in the community about this man named Jesus. He's teaching with authority. He's casting out demons. He's healing sick folk. And the entire region finds themselves excited about Jesus. At this point in the text, that Mark tells us something that's real interesting. He tells us about how we can have a spirit of expectancy. Are you interested? Yeah. I'm gonna talk about it for a few minutes, then I'm take my seat. Mark is specific about the spirit of expectancy. He tells them it was evening at sundown. The people brought to Jesus everybody who was sick and oppressed by demons. It was at evening, text says at sundown, that the people brought all the folk that were sick and oppressed by demons to Jesus. This is serious. It was at evening, when the sun had gone down, that the folk brought all of the sick folk and oppressed to Jesus. Why is this important? Because sundown on this particular day is around 6 p.m. But more importantly, this sundown on this particular day represents the end of the Sabbath. You remember earlier in the day, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath where he taught and rebuked an unclean spirit. We're now in the evening time of that very same day. Now, this is important to know because it was the Sabbath, and on the Sabbath, there was supposed to be no work. The Sabbath was set aside as a day of rest, and even to this day, the Sabbath is designated as a time of rest for the people of Israel. But the text says that it was now evening, the sun had now set, the Sabbath was now over, and they brought to Jesus all who were sick or oppressed by demons. Now I have to let you know that there is some shouting news right here. There's some shouting news because there is a spirit of expectancy in the air, because the people could not bring the sick and oppressed to Jesus earlier because it was still Sabbath and working was prohibited, and they were not allowed by law to bring the sick and the oppressed to Jesus. But as soon as the sun went down, as soon as they saw the clock set 6 p.m., as soon as the Sabbath day was over, they rushed to get to Jesus. As soon as it was permitted for them to come, they put on their sandals, got on their donkeys, got on their camels, made their way to Jesus. And the reason they did it was because when you have a spirit of expectancy of what God can do, you don't tarry, you don't take your time, you don't move cautiously. You know that God is capable, so you don't waste your time. I gotta get to him as soon as I can. Can I help somebody out on tonight? When you have a spirit of expectancy and you know God is able, it does not take you long to bring your stuff. You're not waiting for events to transpire before you talk to God. You're not waiting for the letter to come in the mail before you talk to God. You're not waiting to hear what the doctor says before you talk to God. As soon as you need the Lord, that's when you call. As soon as your problem comes, that's when you call. As soon as the situation worsens, that's when you call. As soon as I get to him, that's when I call. There was a song that was written some time ago based on Psalm 116. It says, I love the Lord. He heard my cry and he pitied every groan. Long as I live and troubles rise. You know what it says? I'll hasten. Somebody missed that. It says, I'll hasten to his throne. I'm not lallygagging, I'm hastening to his throne. I'm not skipping along, I'm hastening to his throne. And I just believe on tonight, March 9th, 2015, on this Monday evening of pastor's anniversary, somebody ought to have that attitude that if I can just get to the Lord, I know everything is going to be all right. If I can just get to the throne room, I know everything is going to be all right. If I can just get in his presence, I know he'll heal my body. If I can just make my way to him, I believe he'll make a way out of no way. my head to him. I know the job will come. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know I'm going to be made whole if I can just get to him, if I can just get to him, if I can just get to him. I know that my God is going to do so if I can just get to him, if I can just get to him. Mark is specific. Mark is specific in what he is telling us. There is a spirit of expectancy in the air. Bible tells us, verse 33, that the whole city was gathered together at the door. The entire village came to the door. Some theologians and commentators suggest Mark is using exaggerated language when he says that everybody. If I can infuse some Afrocentrism into it, that's how I know it was probably some colored folk down in Israel, because everybody. And the reason there was a spirit of expectancy, because word had gotten around about Jesus. Word had gotten around about the man with the unclean spirit. Word had gotten around about Peter's mother-in-law. So because they knew about what Jesus was able to do, they made it their business to get to where Jesus was. Now let me be clear, this passage of scripture is not about personal testimony. In other words, this passage is not about me reflecting on my own personal experience with God and basing my faith on my own experience. This passage is about knowing what Jesus had done for the man with the unclean spirit and Peter's mother-in-law. And because I know what Jesus did for them, as soon as the sun goes down and the Sabbath is over, I'm making my way to go to them. In other words, I've seen what Jesus did before. In other words, this passage is about knowing what God has done in the lives of other folk and coming to him with the spirit of expectancy, knowing that if the Lord was able to do it for somebody else, I'm just crazy enough to believe that God is able to do it for me. My pastor used to put it like this. That's why you ought to shout when God is blessing your neighbor. Because if God is blessing your neighbor, that means he's in the neighborhood. And I'll talk to you, that's why testimonies in church are still valuable. That's why the testimony of your brother and sister is still important. That's why if the preacher tells you to tell your neighbor something good that God did for you, you ought not get mad. You ought not say, well, I don't want to touch nobody. I don't want to talk to nobody. I didn't come to church on the day to be talking to my neighbor. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know the power of the testimony that can benefit somebody else. Can I bless you real quick? We as pastors, we got to sit in the pulpit. It's a curse and a blessing. It's a curse because I can't stand sitting up there sometimes because everybody watching your every move. I can't wipe my nose without somebody looking and watching. But there's a blessing in sitting in the pulpit. Because you can look out in the congregation and you can look at the lives of the people that the word of God is touching. And you can look over to that side of the sanctuary and say, I remember when you were going through and God blessed you and brought you out. You can look on the other side of the sanctuary and say, I remember when you were sick in the hospital and the doctor said, we don't know what we can do, and God healed your body. I can look out in the sanctuary and see folk that they were about to get evicted from their apartments. But the Lord brought an increase and paid 6 months in advance. And when I look out and see what God has done for other folk in the building, I can stand and preach with a little more conviction. I can stand and preach with a little more boldness. I can stand and preach with a little more praise. Because I can look around the sanctuary and I can say, if God did it for you, and if God did it for you, and if God did it for you, and if God did it for you, I know He can show enough. Here it is, here it is. I'm done on this. I told y'all about the book of James. Now we back in James. I told you when you go to God, you need to go to Him in faith. And you need to believe. You need to go and believe that God gives generously. Bible says, Mark chapter 1, verse 34, it says, after they brought the sick and oppressed to Jesus, and after the community gathered at the door, it says, guess what? He started healing. It says, after the community got together and they brought the folk to the door, it says that Jesus commenced to healing and casting out demons. One more time for the Holy Ghost. It's getting a little late. Sometimes, you know, it don't quite operate right as the evening gets on. One more time for the Holy Ghost. It says after the sun had gone down, the community gathered. They started bringing the folk to Jesus, and Jesus started healing folk and casting out demons. Can I praise God when I close real quick? Verse 34 means that the people showed up to the show. And Jesus delivered on what they expected Him to do. It's like going to a Beyonce concert. Let me run. It's like going to a Prince concert. I went to go see Charlie Wilson the other week. It's like going to a Charlie Wilson concert. And you go expecting that the performer is going to deliver the show that you're expecting the performer to deliver. And when you leave happy. You leave satisfied. You leave with a pep in your step. Because you know that what you expected to happen actually took place. Can I talk to somebody as I close on the night? I'm talking to somebody that came to the Lord on tonight with some stuff in your life. I'm talking to somebody that came tonight in need of prayer. I came to talk to somebody tonight that is in need of a miracle. I came to talk to somebody who's in need of the Lord breaking through some stuff in your life. I've come to some folk who are in need of the Lord to touch your body and touch your mind and touch your spirit. I've come to talk to somebody on tonight that you need the Lord to permeate your circumstance. I've come to talk to somebody tonight that's in need of the Lord to show up in the middle of your family. I'm talking to somebody on tonight that's in need of the Lord to show up in the middle of your I'm talking to somebody in the night that you need the Lord to show up right smack in the middle of what you're going through. I speak to you a spirit of expectancy. I proclaim bring to you a spirit of expectancy. I don't know how the Lord is going to do it. I don't know the methodology the Lord is going to use. I don't know the formula that God is going to mix up. But there's one thing I know. When the prayers go up, hey, the blessings of the Lord come down. Do I have any witnesses in the building that have some faith in your spirit, that have some boldness in your mind, that know if I can just touch the hem of his garment, everything is going to be all right? Is there anybody in here that's a member of Tabernacle? Is there anybody in here that's a member of Shiloh that you're expecting God to do some things? And your testimony when you leave this place is eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men, the good things. Touch yourself and say the good things. The good things. The good things that God has in store. So here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. Sometimes it takes you having premature, premeditated praise. Here we go, here we go. Yesterday, I went to Bonefish restaurant. Bonefish. I love Bonefish. And they got this shrimp. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's this shrimp that's on point. Somebody say. I wasn't gonna say it, but they got the bang bang shrimp. Now, when I order the bang bang shrimp, I don't wait till the shrimp comes to get my taste buds and appetite ready. I'm already expecting the sweetness of the sauce. I'm already expecting the flavor of the shrimp. I'm already expecting the lettuce at the bottom just to give it a little something, something. So when I go to the Lord in prayer, I'm not waiting for God to show up. I'm preparing my heart. I'm preparing my mind. I'm preparing my body for the good things that God is about to do. Do I have any witnesses in the building that have a spirit of expectancy that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above? So if you believe that God is able to do for you the things that you know you can't do for yourself, I dare you to give him a 9